The scripture reading this afternoon is from the book of Ephesians, chapter 1, verses 3 to 14. Praise be to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him, we have redemption through the blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he has lavished on us. With all wisdom and understanding, he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ to be put into effect when the times reach their fulfillment, to bring to unity all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we, who first put our hope in Christ, might be the praise of his glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is the deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are in God's possession to the praise of his glory. This is the word of the Lord.
Please keep that passage open. We'll be just reading the first kind of three verses, so verses 3 to 6, and we're going to be in these verses kind of for the next 3 weeks, but just the first kind of three today. And keep your Bibles open, heads in the text, to see where I'm getting this stuff from. In 2013, there was a kind of popular Twitter hashtag going around, hashtag blessed. I don't know if you saw that. You didn't have to be religious to use it, really. It was just a way of making your followers feel a little bit bad about their lives and how good your life was and their life wasn't. I just got my dream job. Hashtag blessed. Getting married to the perfect guy soon, they might say. Hashtag blessed. If you took a picture every day this week and put it on Instagram, it might not resonate with all of you, but how many of those posts, or how many of those photos, would you honestly be able to tag hashtag blessed? What's going on in this photo? Is my life really looking blessed? That's what you're saying. Do you even feel blessed right now? Maybe you feel as if God's not really blessing you at all. Like, it's actually quite hard to know what to thank God for in the mornings. Thank you, Lord, that you just can't think. Let's be honest, we can feel like this sometimes. We can look at other people actually around us who aren't really living the Christian life at all, and their life just looks a little bit easier and more blessed than ours. Why do I even bother with this Christian thing, you might be thinking? No more being ridiculed at school. I'd actually be popular. No more commitments to the Sunday serving rota. I'd actually be able to go out with my friends on a Sunday. No more restrictions on pleasure. No more looking like a judgy prude at work. I'd actually be able to do what I want. I'd be liked for once. Is it worth being a Christian when all we get is actually the opposite of hashtag blessed? Is it worth it? Are Christians even blessed at all? Well, when we have this view of God, it can feel like we worship a God who doesn't really care about us, or love us. That's what it can feel like. Well, today we're starting a new mini-series in Ephesians 1, 3 to 14, and we're going to see in the next few weeks that even though we may not feel like we're blessed sometimes, so whatever that word really means to you, we're going to see that Christians really are blessed. You really are. So blessed, in fact, that, get this, that precisely when you are a Christian is when every single second of your life you could take a picture and put it on Instagram or Facebook or wherever and caption it, hashtag blessed, every second, despite the circumstances. Well, how can we say that? Because the Apostle Paul can. The guy who wrote this letter, who's sitting, I don't like to say this word in church, but he's sitting in his own feces, rotting in a Roman prison as he's writing it. And he can say this. He can say he's blessed. Imagine Paul taking a selfie, right? There and then, as he's writing this book. And incredibly, he's able to caption it with verse 3. This is his caption. Look at verse 3. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Can you see what he's trying to say? You might not feel blessed, but you really are. You really are. Look at the middle of verse 3. God, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Sometimes it can just feel like you're drip-fed a few blessings here and there. But as Christians, we never have to say, please, Lord, can I have some more? No, we are full to the brim. God doesn't hold back. That's not the kind of God that we worship. He's given us every spiritual blessing, every last one. And this is the thing. We don't really realise this. These blessings are drowning us every day. We don't realise it. Why don't we realise it? Because these are blessings that we actually can't see. We can't see them. Look at the middle of verse 3 again. God, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Every spiritual blessing. So they're not physical. They're not earthly blessings like the perfect spouse or the flashiest car or house or whatever. And we never promise that anyway in the Christian life. They're spiritual, heavenly, unseen blessings. And Paul is pleading with us to see that it might not look or feel like you're blessed, but you really are. You really are, and you're not missing out. You've got every spiritual blessing worth having. That's the point. Heavenly blessings are worth having because they actually last. Jesus says this in the Sermon on the Mount. You might know that. But you can have all the physical earthly blessings in the world, can't you? But flashy cars don't last. Money gets spent. Death still exists. Good times will get boring. But even though spiritual blessings are unseen, they're eternal, invisible, but never fade away. Believe it, you really are blessed. Okay, so why? He's being quite big picture and quite general, maybe quite vague actually. Why are the blessings something to be excited about? What are they? Well, the whole point of the first half of Ephesians 1 is just to show us a few of those blessings. You see at the beginning of verse 4, it has the word for, F-O-R. It's carrying on. What he's saying, these are the spiritual blessings. But we're just going to zoom in on the first blessing today in verses 3 to 6. And this is it. We really are blessed because we really are loved. We really are blessed because we really are loved. Firstly, we were lovingly chosen. Look at verse 4. Even as he chose us in him. Verse 5. He predestined us. Chose, predestined. To be chosen, predestined, is to be God's special person forever. You're one of God's people. That's what it means. God says about us, you're mine. By the way, this is not kind of a random choosing. Some people think about it like this. When people think about the big scary doctrine of predestination or God's election, God's choosing, kind of in this verse, actually, in 1,000 other places in the Bible as well, they imagine a bored God sitting there in eternity past, not really knowing what to do, kind of on a production line, thoughtlessly sorting people. Eeny, meeny, miny, mo. I want you, don't want you really. Like you, don't like you. No. No. That's not what it is. Look at the end of verse 4. In love. In love. In love, he predestined us. God lovingly looked at you and said, you're mine. I'm never letting you go. I will love you forever. No one else can say that, can they? Only God can say that. But we were lovingly chosen for something. We were lovingly chosen, but for a destiny, with a destiny. Look down at verse 4 again. For he chose us in him, for he chose us in him before the creation of the world, to be holy and blameless in his sight. Do you see that? First destiny, holiness. Holiness is becoming less sinful and more like God. That's what holiness is. Now look at verse 5. In love, he predestined us for adoption as sons to sonship. Second destiny, adoption as sons. As a Christian, you should never really feel like you don't have a path in life. This verse shows us this. You don't really have a destiny. It's actually wonderful. You know your destiny if you're a Christian. Your destiny is to be holy, more like God. So follow that destiny. It's been given to you. Your destiny is to be adopted as a son. Sons inherit things. This is the what it's talking about here. It's why it doesn't say sons or daughters. It's talking about inheritance. Sons have a spiritual relationship with their father that nobody else has. We're given the greatest eternal destinies for free. So follow them. But if you think those things are mind-blowingly good, which they are, we haven't even got to the most dumbfounding aspect of this passage yet. Look at verse 4. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world. Do you see that? God loved us before time. A million years ago, a trillion years ago, an infinity years ago, when you were just a twinkle in God's eye. God was daydreaming about you at that point in eternity and said, you're going to be my sinless son. I'm going to love you no matter what, forever. It's one thing being chosen for a destiny, that's great. It's one thing being loved, that's amazing. But there's something just so next level about being loved and thought about a long time ago. Do you know what I mean? Love that goes all the way back. It's like this. It's like parents who aren't really particularly well off, but they always try to do their best for their children. And their children say to them, I don't want to go camping anymore, Daddy. I want to go to Disneyland like all the other kids. They don't sound like the nicest children in the world, but their parents still choose to love them anyway. So for the next couple of years, They do extra shifts. They scrimp and they save every last penny. They get every last little Tesco voucher. And after a few years, they come up to their children and they say, James, that's me, here are some tickets to Disneyland. You can see how this links, right? In that moment, and probably now more than in that moment, I realised that my parents really did love me. Not just because they got me tickets, that was great, but because they planned this for years and they thought about me and saved for years. They were thinking about me for a long time in advance. Love that goes all the way back is next level love. And God goes 1,000 levels back from this, doesn't he, for us. With God, love goes all the way back before he said, let there be light. Eons before time was even a thing. God loved me. And if you trust him this afternoon, love went all the way back for you too. God really does love you. These verses are a promise to that. This is the love that I think just hits you right there. Wow, God, so you were daydreaming about James Dancer in eternity past. Knew that I would sin and I would repent and I'd sin again. And you still chose to love me and predestined me to be your son. What? There's no love like this. Can I just say that personally, this is like one of my go-to assurance of salvation verses. When I've royally mucked up, when I've sinned too much or sinned too big, I think. And I think that God doesn't really love me anymore. He loves me. He loves me not. He loves me. He loves me not. No, he loves me. He specially selected me. He lovingly chose me, a sinner, before time began. Before time. God does love me. And God loves you. He really does if you trust him. Love goes all the way back for us. Don't mishear these verses, though. As if the universe revolved around you. We are loved. Our timelines are engraved in the fabric of space-time for a wonderful destiny. But here's the thing. The universe actually revolves around God. We really are blessed because we really are loved. So bless God back. In a more literal translation, verse 3 says, blessed be the God and Father. He's linking his blessings to us and then our response. The goal of this otherworldly love is that God is maximally praised. Look at verse 5. He predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace. That's why. A glad praise around God's throne for what he's done is the future. And he deserves it, doesn't he? Why wouldn't you want to praise God, bless God for his grace, his generosity, for what he's done for you? What's the response to this passage in the present? Well, it's something very similar. It's exactly the same, actually. Verse 3, praise be. Original translation, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He blesses us, so we bless him back. That's the right response. Can you see how excited Paul is in these verses? How much God loves his people. And it's an excitement that is completed in praise, isn't it? Paul wants us then to pick up some of this secondhand excitement. An excitement that leads for us to full-blown praise. God blesses, we bless back. How can you not? How can you not bless him back? What a God we have. So how do we become people who are so excited about God's blessings that we want to praise him, we want to bless him back? Well, the answer is to fully come to terms with what is written here and how much you're blessed. Particularly in these verses, how much God loves you. That's what we're looking at today. And the best way to do that is to come back to these verses in the moment that you actually doubt that God loves you. You might just kind of generally be feeling unloved right now. You might really want to be married, but you're not. Or you've got a problem with your children who don't always express that love to you like you'd like them to. You're a teenager who's not really making loads of friends at school. Remember in that moment that God lovingly chose you before time. Remember that you are loved more than you can ever imagine. You might struggle with self-worth, like you're not really good enough, like you're too much of a sinner for God to love you. Whatever it is, God does love you. He loved you before time. He gave you a destiny. He chose you to be his very own. In those moments when you feel like it's not worth being a Christian, because you feel like you're worshipping a God who doesn't really bless or love you, remember that he does love you. His love goes all the way back. He loves you because of that. We're blessed, so we should bless him back. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we've been thinking about how you are high and mighty. You are to be feared above all fake gods, all authorities and powers. And we thank you that you are our Father as well, who loves us and cares for us and chooses us. We pray that we would really know your love today and this week. And we pray that we'd be people who would want to bless you back, want to praise you for what you have done and for your grace. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.